We are in Alma 12 and 13, and I just love this. I'm like so pumped that this is where we are in this story as we continue the story about Amulek and Zeezrom and just these incredible men and just these examples to us of who we can become. I just love this. And last night I just lay there in bed and thoughts would just come about this. And I just so love this story and all that it teaches us. And truly the theme that came again and again last night is desire. And as we watch the Ezrams questioning, turn to a desire to know and a desire to have what Alma and to know the truth that Alma and Amulek know, and a desire to really learn for himself. The thoughts that kept coming last night is, why do you read? Why do you study the scriptures? What are your desires? And it was to me, what are my desires? Why do I study? And that's the exciting part of this story. That's what's so cool about this story, is to see someone as evil, who was expert in the devices of Satan, Zeezrom, turn to a consciousness of his guilt and a desire to know what they're teaching, and to turn from pairing with Satan to really have a desire to have the peace and the knowledge that they have that comes from the scriptures and comes from God. And I just love this. So that's what I would say to keep in mind as we go through this, but also as you do come follow me, to ask that question. Why do you study the scriptures? Why do you read? Why do you do come follow me? Do you have a desire to know for yourself? Because that truly should be our desire. We can go through all of this just because we've been commanded to do it. And a lot of times in my life, that's been why I've done it. But truly, true change and peace and happiness and learning occurs when our desire becomes to know what God would have us know and to learn for ourselves. One of my earliest memories is I remember my mom and her siblings sitting at my grandmother's house discussing the scriptures, and they were loud. I mean, it was a loud discussion, but I don't remember it being angry. I just remember they were like excited about what they were learning and what they knew in the scriptures. And that is probably my earliest memory of thinking, I want to know like they know. I want a testimony like they have. I want the knowledge that they have. I want to be able to speak like they speak, with authority and with power and with the knowledge of God and a love of the scriptures. And it was obvious to me that they had that. And I so wanted that. And I remember, that's the first memory I have of truly my heart having a desire to know the scriptures like they knew them. And I'm so grateful for that, because it was before seminary. And I was a young teenager, and it's just the first I remember having this desire. And I think the reason I love these chapters is the Ezrams' desire changes to that desire to know, to so watch Alma and Amulek, and desire to have exactly what I saw in my mom and her siblings, this knowledge, this peace, this happiness, this passion in the scriptures. And I love that we get to watch this in Zeezrom, and I truly love Zeezrom. I remember one time asking my kids who their hero was in the Book of Mormon, and one of my sons said Zeezrom, and I just grinned because I thought, you never hear anyone say that. But it really made me know that my son knew the scriptures and had a knowledge of the scriptures and had a knowledge of Zeezrom, and it just made me so happy because I love Zeezrom. Okay, so in verse 1, Alma sees that Zeezrom is silenced. He sees that he's shaking, that he truly, he has a consciousness of his guilt. And he even says to him, I see Amulek. He says, let's see. Now Alma, seeing that the words of Amulek had silenced Zeezrom, for he beheld Amulek had been caught in his lying, had caught Zeezrom in his lying and deceiving and to destroy him. And seeing, he began to tremble under a consciousness of his guilt. He opened his mouth and began to establish and speak, unto him and establish the words of Amulek and explain the things beyond, or to unfold the scriptures beyond which Amulek had done. And here's the prophet of God being a second witness to the convert. And I love that. And there's a great multitude we learn in verse 2, and they're listening. And I think this is so cool. All of these people are learning and benefiting from what is happening, this discussion that's happening. And I love this. And in verse 3, he says, now you know that God knows your thoughts and intents. And I love that, because it's not an I told you so moment. It is truly the love of God in this prophet who so sees Zeezrom's heart and knows what is happening, and so wants Zeezrom to know that God loves him and knows who he is. And I love that. And then he says in verse 4, you were letting the adversary use you. And in verse 5, and here's the plan of the adversary. His plan is the same as his plan for everyone. In verse 6, a snare which he has laid to catch, that he might bring you into subjection and chain you to everlasting destruction. That's his plan. Make no mistake. That's what his plan is. And then I love in verse 7, Zeezrom begins to tremble more, and he is convinced more of the power of God, and that Alma and Amulek have a knowledge of him and his thoughts and his intents. And that's so important, that we know that God knows us. So I love this. And then this is where I have written Zeezrom's whole questioning, his whole desire completely changes. And we see it in verse 8. And Zeezrom began to inquire of them more diligently, that he might know more concerning the kingdom of God. And he said to Alma, what does this mean that Amulek has spoken concerning the resurrection of the dead, and that all shall rise from the dead, both the just and unjust, and are brought to stand before God to be judged according to their works? And what does he want to know? He wants to know what next. When we pair with Satan, we are so concerned with the here and now, and we're concerned with pride, and we're concerned with wealth, and we're concerned with praise and what we have. And when we follow God, we look to the afterlife, because we know joy cometh then, and that we're working for then. And so I love that Zeezrom's whole questioning, what triggers his heart is what is coming next. And what does this mean? What do you mean? He's done all of this studying of the scripture to pair with Satan and to have knowledge to twist words. And all of a sudden, this glorious truth pricks his heart and his conscience, and he's like, hey, wait, now tell me what's coming. Tell me about this judgment. And I love that. And so then Alma goes on, and he starts to tell him about the Jews, and because he's giving him this example of exactly what's happened in Zeezrom's life. And in verse 11, he tells in verse 10 that they wanted more. And in verse 11, and they that will harden their hearts, to them is given the lesser portion of the word, until they know nothing, and his mysteries are taken away, and they are led by the devil. So he tells him about this. And then he goes on and tells in 14, our works and our words will condemn us, so that we dare not stand before him. And verse 15, but you will have to, and you will have to acknowledge all of your works that you will see. And then we will be cut off, verse 16, and you will have spiritual death, which means you will never have his spirit again. And then, and that's your choice. And then 17, he says, it's a lake of fire and brimstone. And I love that he's teaching this. The reason I have this is because Alma knows firsthand what that feels like. And so he's able very powerfully to bear witness of this, and also very lovingly, because he doesn't want anyone else to feel what he felt. And I love that. That is our prophet of God. Those are our leaders. They work with the love of Christ that works through them. And we see that as parents. And I love that. And he talks about that those who will not call on the name of Christ, will not, are cut off. And it's almost as if the atonement, it is as if the atonement hasn't been made. There is no redemption because they won't call on his name. And I love in 19 that all these other people are listening to this and hearing this. And then in 20, Antiona sees this. And he immediately starts to turn the question back to stuff that he knows that he wants to twist, areas of half-truths, areas of confusion. And so he goes right back to the garden and Adam and Eve and all of that. But I love that Alma is not shaken and starts to explain it to him. I mean, he could laughingly go, you really don't care, but he doesn't. He explains it because all these other people are listening. And then he gets right back to the point that he's been talking to with Zeezrom in 34, repent, repent. And then 35, do not harden your heart and enter into God's rest. 36, all of you who do not harden your hearts and turn to him, he will, his atonement covers and he will accept and you are his. And then I just love that in 37, it's just this easy. And now my brethren, seeing we know these things and they are true, let us repent and harden not our hearts that we provoke not the Lord and pull down his wrath. Let us enter into the rest of God. And I love that he just pulls it right back to what he's been saying. Okay, in chapter 13, he talks about this has been the order from the beginning. He goes right back to the council in heaven and outlines the plan of salvation, which is what we know we are to teach again and again and again and remind them of things they already know. These are truths that they already willingly accepted to come. And in verse 3 it says, and this is the manner after which they were ordained. And he's talking about him. He's talking about Amulek. He's talking about all of us being called and prepared from the foundation of the world according to the foreknowledge of God on account of their exceeding faith and good works. You would not have the priesthood. You would not be a member of the church. You would not be called to teach other people and to prophesy if you had not had good works and faith before you came. And I love that. In the first place, being left to choose good or evil. Therefore, they chose good. Having chose good, exercise exceeding great faith, are called with a holy calling, and prepared with and according to that redemption. Okay, so I love that. And then it talks about that whole prepared from the beginning, and really he's explaining all of us that have been called. And so I love that. And then you go to verse 10 and it says, now I said unto you, this holy order, this high priesthood, there were many who were ordained and became high priest of God. And it was on account again of their faith and repentance, their choosing righteousness before God and choosing to repent rather than to perish. And I love that it also says that we chose to repent. We chose to be humble. It wasn't that we were perfect. We had good works. We had faith and we chose to repent. I love that. And then he goes and he tells the story of Melchizedek. And one of the things that I really love about this, it says, Melchizedek, having exercised mighty faith and received the office of the high priesthood according to the holy order of God, did preach repentance to his people. And they did repent, and Melchizedek did establish peace in the land in his days. Therefore he was called the Prince of Peace. Prince of Peace, peace comes exactly as Isaiah says, the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord. And we see this with Melchizedek. He repented and he taught his people a knowledge of God and established peace. There is no other way for peace to come than that. And I love that in 19 it says, there were many after, but none were greater than him. And it's because of that that he did. So I love that. And then in 20, this is a really awesome scripture. Now I need not rehearse the matter, but what I have said will suffice. The scriptures are before you. You go study them, you go gain a testimony. But behold, the scriptures are before you. If you rest them, it will be to your own destruction. And what that means is if you change them, if you twist them, that's exactly what you've been doing. That's exactly how you've been studying. Then it's to your own destruction and condemnation. And I love this because there's so many people listening, not just the Ezra at this time. And then they're all learning from this. And then in 25, and now we can only wait to hear the joyful news declared unto us by the mouth of the angels of his coming. So he goes back to Christ is coming. For the time cometh, and we know not how soon. Would to God that it might be in my day, but let it be sooner or later. And I will rejoice. And I have written there how sad it wasn't his day, but that is how we need to be. Let it be my day. I will rejoice. All of this that's happening, I will rejoice. It can cause fear or it can cause faith, and it is a hard time, but let it be our day. And if it's not okay, then we lay that aside, but let us work for that, because that is where peace, that is where joy comes. And I love that Alma's solidifying and seconding what Amulek taught is all about Christ and the joy we have of the gospel and the knowledge we have of the plan of salvation, that true peace and happiness come through pairing with God, through repentance, through humility, through praying every day, what would you have me do? Please make me more. And then waiting to see the Savior. And that let it be in our life or after, it doesn't matter. But knowing that true joy comes with living with him after this life or in this life, hopefully. I always say I want it to be in my life. I always hope and pray. But I know that means I need to have faith with all that's coming. And then in 28, but that ye will be humble and call on the Lord. Call on his name. Watch and pray continually that you be not tempted above what you're able to bear. Become humble, meek, submissive, patient, full of love and all long suffering. And that needs to be our prayer at this time. That needs to be our prayer. And then in 29, have faith. And then in 30, and may the Lord grant unto you repentance, that you may not bring down his wrath upon you, that you may not be bound by the chains of hell. Let him answer your prayer. If you are humble and you are meek and you call to him, pray that he will help bind my wandering heart to thee, and that he will forgive you and that you will be his. And I just love that. So again, I would end, ask, what is your desire as we do come follow me, as we study the scriptures? Why do you read? Why do you do it? What is your desire? And that we could examine to know why we are doing what we're doing. And truly that our desire becomes to have a knowledge, as the Ezra's has become, to truly have a knowledge of the afterlife and of Christ and of his mission for us and all he has planned and prepared. It's so important that we have a knowledge of who God is and that he loves us.